Good evening and welcome to the Village of Carmack's regular council meeting, Tuesday, August 4th, 2026. 7 o'clock, I'll call the meeting to order. For the agenda, we have two additions.
Yes, 8.5, the government community tour, and 8.6, old fire hall repairs.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Did we have board now?
Screen from the south.
Might be minutes.
Yeah. What were they?
Welcome, Michael Miller.
8.5 government community tour and 8.6.
Old fire hall.
Old fire hall.
I believe Michael is a member of the media.
Do we have a motion to adopt the minutes or the
I'll make agenda? A motion to adopt the agenda as amended.
I'll second it.
All in favor? Thank you. It passes.
I'll make a motion to accept the adoption of the minutes from regular council meeting July 21st, 2026. I'll second.
Any questions on that? Seeing none, all in favor? That passes, thank you. Delegations, not seeing any. And correspondence, a letter from Minister Kelly.
Yes. So, what's up here? So, this is about agriculture in Carmack. Basically, this is from just referencing that the next policy framework for developing agriculture policy is being discussed right now at the federal level, and it just encourages the Village of Carmack to potentially participate through the Federation of Canadian Municipalities to support. To provide support for UConn in this regard. So this is a letter dated from July 13th. And it's in reference to the last meeting that we had where local food production was on the agenda on the May 1st meeting with Minister Laking and Minister Belmore.
Okay. Councillors, if you have any comments on this or whatever, you could forward them to Blake. Thank you, Mr. Laking.
Mr. Laking's signature looks like a rock star of the.
All right, moving along here. Letter from Minister Brad Cathers.
So this letter is introducing the new electronic medical records for community health centers. So they're implementing an electronic medical record system called Plexia in all community health centers. And it's basically just to introduce this system and explain that the phased rollout of it is planned across communities beginning October 2026. It blows with according to plan and is hoped to be running in all communities on March of 2027.
I don't see hospitals. Oh, you can hospital corporation. But I know right now, like if you go to the hospital, they don't have any record. Like they can't access your medical records.
Yeah, it's just they have to send them over. Like they're transcribed.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully
it'll change. So.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was speaking to our manager and she had none of these dates for me.
Oh, really?
She said, no, I won't say it.
Thank you, Minister Cathers. Reports, council activity reports, Councillor Mitchell.
I can't think right now. I know there's a couple of things.
I'm back here.
Yeah.
Councillor Belanger.
I'm trying to remember my last meeting. I don't think I've done anything. And I've been too busy working.
I attended the joint council meeting. I avoided the ball tournament, but I heard it was great. A lot of fun. The weather was pretty good for a ball tournament. The Stats Canada for the Bureau of Statistics for CarMax getting up to 612. That was big. yeah, and then I camped for a couple of days. I just got back today, so I'm nice and relaxed.
Welcome back. Councilor Mitchell.
Well, you know, I was at the joint meeting. I always enjoy the joint meetings. I like our relationship with the First Nation, and I'm glad that we're at with it. And I didn't, I spent too much time at the ball field. As you can see, I'm probably as red as a sweet shirt, maybe, but the night was well organized. 8 teams, way to go, recreation crew. What a, yeah, it was good. I know there's one other thing, just busy at the fire department. Yeah, but that's it for me.
Thank you, Counselor. If I report, I was at the joint council meeting with LSCFN. And I also attended ball tournament all weekend, help the crew to just shed in the heat. Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, they did a really good job. Teams had fun. Other than that, I've just been talking with a few residents about, you know, the strategic plan and how we can share that with them and how they can get that. And, if people are on, we could send over that to them personally so I can share those names with you, and maybe we can get them emailed over.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I have. Hand it over to CEO Rick Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess the important date coming up would be September 1st. We're meeting with AYC chair and the executive director at AYC, so they'll be coming up CarMax just in advance of the council meeting that night. So they'll probably be attending a council meeting as well for your updates. For meetings and correspondence, there's been a number of just regular correspondence with residents, then kind of ongoing. One meeting was with Jamal, Janelle. Yes. So the mayor, speaking for Janelle, who is visiting from out of town and is a videographer, and just kind of talked about some opportunities there for doing some videography for the village. So we're in talks and we'll be meeting again tomorrow. There was an apartment management roundtable on July 22nd, and we also had one on the 29th as well too, talk about emergency planning and looking at doing a bit of brainstorming with management about joint community planning, or about joint emergency planning with LSCFN, and just looking at high-level recommendations for an amalgamated community plan. So we're talking more about that. There should be a draft, hopefully by the end of the month, that we'll be able to review. I'm hoping to review that with Kelly and Blake, and then we'll be able to share some recommendations with both councils, and hopefully come up with a more community focused, more of a community plan to bring them both together. I had an in-person meeting with the Yukon Water Board regarding our water license renewal. That was on July 24th. So there's definitely some work that needs to be done on that front. It's good that we are starting this process now, because water licenses do take quite a bit of time. So our current water license expires at the end of 2028. So looking to go through the renewal process, it will take a bit of time. And so I've spoken with Prince and Jens about this, as well as Bill. We've had a number of meetings, and we are working on the process now and looking at how we can move things forward on the front. Well, that was a good meeting. We also had an in-person meeting with Yukon Wildfire regarding Fire Smart Initiative, which is basically there's a I'm going to just paraphrase at a high level, but I'll send up the details a bit later. They're looking for they're looking to do a little bit of like a pilot project on research in terms of how Fire Smart could come into municipal bylaws a bit. And so it's not binding or anything like that. It's basically just looking at just what it might look like for having Fire Smart more ingrained into bylaws. So they're looking at, they're doing a study with Whitehorse, and they're looking for one other community to work with them on this. And so Carmen, I said, yeah, we'd be, you know, interested in learning more about it. So more to come on that. Also, I talked with them about the Community Wildfire Protection Plan, which was so this was done with LSCFN and between LSCFN and the village in 2022 as a draft. It was never furthered beyond the draft point of view. So it wouldn't take much to complete this one. It would just need to be updated and probably a little bit more added to it. But there is funding available through Wildfire for this planning. And as discussed at the joint council meeting, this could really be a component of a joint community plan, which would be kind of focused on preparation and preparedness, that piece of it. So
that's great.
Yeah. I had a meeting with the Yukon Energy Corporation. We're in the Whitehorse Power Centers project. And that's further on the agenda, so I can speak to that a bit later. Meeting with public works staff regarding water license renewals, as I just mentioned. Joint council meeting was on July 29th, so took part in that and did a lot of work with Kelly and with staff in the lead up to just get the right information together. To prep for that. There's been several bits of correspondence with Yukon Senator Duncan, and this is regarding access to capital for the Housing Accelerator Fund. So that issue. So we're really trying to kind of get more people around the table that can help give voice to this issue. Hopefully to be able to find some solutions for finding short-term access to capital, for being able to kind of allow half projects to move forward. And also the other part of this is requesting an extension from CMHC for the half fund. I met with Yukon Housing Corporation yesterday. And that was one of their biggest things that came out of that meeting, was just they were really encouraging to recommend for that extension. I know Watson Lake has asked for an extension with half. And I think that with more coordination with all the different players involved in this, I think that there's a really good case to be made for UConn communities to be able to have that extension. So it's just continuing that conversation. The senator had asked for a briefing note on this issue, so I'm in the process of putting that together as well, too. I've also requested a meeting with the MP's office. I haven't heard back yet, but that's another element on it. And this is also on the agenda for AYC in September, so it could be discussed in more detail then. Other than that, there's been, again, just ongoing work on the communication tools and structures, as well as I mentioned, emergency planning, half piece, and the VOC leases as well too, in office space. So just kind of ongoing things on that front. But that is my report.
Anything else with the DMAT?
I just had a conversation with infrastructure development branch, just a brief one with the director. Basically confirmed that DMAF is that there's been a number of really productive meetings between YG and LSCFN on DMAF, and that things are on a good trajectory and moving forward. So
thank you. Blake, any questions for Blake? Thanks, Blake. Budget's report.
Page that.
Page what?
Okay, financial and admin report, July 2026 expenditure summary. The expenditure summary report for June 26 has been provided for council's review. Attached here. Tax collection, still 83 property owners, or 83 property owners paid their taxes.
Out of how many?
Person. 83%.
Yeah.
There was quite the list with the last report of paid.
Many investment grants were sent out July 29th, 2026. Summaries attached. Yeah. Any questions on the statements?
How come there's nothing for mosquito control? Did they not spray the stuff?
They did. We have... There was on the report before, earlier.
Okay.
When was that?
It might be April.
Yeah, usually May, probably.
Yeah, it was on the...
Okay. I just...
I do remember seeing it.
Because of the high water, there's still one of those spirits out there. You walk at night, and holy crap.
You know, down in my house, I've killed two mosquitoes.
Really? Yeah.
I don't know why, the last 3 years. Because they do a good job spraying Carmex. Yeah, especially like, down by my house.
I've got to say, the past couple of years have been not too bad.
Any other questions on...
I'll make a motion to file the check log.
Center.
I'll second it.
All in favor.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. Public Works report from Jets. See, they were busy for the last 2 days here.
Did they get the plug open yet?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, so just highlights here. Obviously, everybody's seen them, been working on the sewer system or the, what do they call the drainage? About the monitoring system for water levels?
Yeah.
So they are just removing those today and yesterday.
Okay.
It's causing a little bit of issue with the lift station. But they figured it out. Thank you, Jens. Recreation report. Chanel. Summer day camp began on June 17th, run until August 7th, and school's back in on the 20th.
24th. But it looks like the after school program's not starting until September 7th.
Okay. I think we kind of do this every year, don't we? Where there's like a 2 week period where the rec center gets to have their
time
for like a. While they do like their reset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
But I know they also started late too, so it's difficult for some parents for the summer because it's, yes, it's not a daycare, but.
I would just say
something.
thanks to the rec for the summer camp. I know the kids really love it. The STEM group has been there. The kids are all involved. Also, like, they do their swimming pool outings.
Yeah. They do have a good time.
Summer t-ball. There's a youth softball tournament coming up. It was posted. So that'll be fun. It's at the school diamond. So look for that posting if you're interested in watching the youth.
As in age category?
Yeah, it's on the poster.
It's on the poster.
Canada Day talks about in MERV 2, annual slow pitch tournament, obviously. Yeah. Sheep Arena, this is still on the schedule to be making ice September 23, eh? Wow. Thank you, Chanel. Bylaw report.
It's deferred to the next.
Yeah. You want to defer it to the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. Association of Yukon Communities, Councillor Wheeler.
I don't have anything.
Moving on to bylaws 7.1327-26 VOC bylaw service constable use of special force 2026 second reading.
I'll make a motion to give second reading to bylaw number 327-26.
You have a second. Discussion, comments, Blake?
So, I mean, I just say in context. So, this is the second, the addition that is in the package for second reading reflects all the changes that were made based on the feedback from first reading that council provided, as well as the feedback we received from during the engagement period. So these included things such as up-to-date just highlighting the need for up-to-date recognized professional certification on the use of intermediate weapons identified. And then there was discussion about softening the language where possible to focus on recognition of authority and responsibility, as opposed to focus on use of force or any intermediate weapons. Both of those terms are legal terms for law enforcement. And so there is mention in the bylaw. However, it was mentioned to provide guidelines in keeping with legal language, but just the message conveyed in the bylaw was discussed as it should be, that these are tools like protective equipment that hopefully never have to be used in the line of duty. It's just outlining the need for authority and responsibility. I guess it just also highlighted that during the engagement, it was also mentioned the bylaw services constable has an opportunity to work closer with the RCMP on enforcement and falls within municipal bylaws and jurisdiction on education and community engagement. This brings a lot of potential for enhancing community safety. In accordance with the criminal code, municipal bylaw enforcement officer is legally considered a peace officer and has the authority that comes with that status. Intermediate weapons are defensive tools that provide trained bylaw officers with the ability to protect themselves and others in extreme cases where situations present imminent danger. And all Yukon communities are covered from municipal bylaw enforcement liability under AYC's insurance provider.
Was D Did Little Simon Kermit's First Nation have any wanting any changes to the bylaw?
Anything that was referenced during the joint council meeting is reflected in the bylaw changes. So,
okay. Anything from the public?
The only thing that would that was that came out of the engagement that would be reflected here from the public. Well, it's already in here, but that would include the softening of the language and also just highlighting the need for training, and also just that this bylaw is designed for supporting community safety as well as the safety of the bylaw officer. So that was something that was that came out of the public engagement.
So I do recall Blake mentioning that he is certified in some sort of training.
Yeah.
So are we going to
it'll be renewed.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was Liam does. So the bylaw officer has training in has received training with these tools, intermediate weapons, and with de-escalation. However, we've talked about the need or that it would be in the best interest, especially in alliance with the bylaw, to have these certifications renewed, refreshed, updated. So so there's been discussions with both bylaw and with Blake as a certifier.
My thing that's changed since the joint council meeting would be that if there is a call for animal bylaw for LSCFN, that when and this passes or whatever, that he would have to actually remove the duty belt, and it would be in the discretion of administration and the bylaw officer if they were going to attend that call based off of these things in place.
If LSCFN deems that necessary.
That's right. But that would have to be go over through the joint meeting with the animal control.
I have a question on 9.05. Okay. Maybe I'm reading this really weirdly, but so the person may operate a heavy vehicle on a Kennedy Carmax. I'm not reading all the words. Anyway, between the hours of 6 a.m. and 11 a.m. and between 7 and 12, what, you're not allowed to...
Oh, that's the second bylaw.
That's the next... That's the traffic bylaw.
Oh, okay. Oops, pardon me. Pages stuck together.
So are we only doing one reading?
This is just the second reading, yeah.
Like I said at the First Nation joint meeting, I said, people have got to stop getting so focused on the word weapon. It's just protection.
Offensive tools.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's that line between using legal language that describes like law enforcement terms, but also just the spirit of the bylaw is very much on.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah. Look at the bylaw. Don't look at these little words.
Yeah.
And I think everybody in the meeting understood that.
One thing that I think was particularly powerful in this engagement process was the fact that the discussions with the local RCMP detachment commander showed that there was a very high level of support from RCMP for the village supporting the work that RCMP is doing, and that it would actually complement things very well. And there's an open invitation to have more collaboration between between the village and RCMP through bylaw by being able to do things like joint education and joint engagement with the community. So there was it was really greatly appreciated to have the perspectives from the detachment commander at the JCM as well too. One thing that particularly stood out for me is just his experience saying that he has used the OC spray that's referenced as an area tool, but he's used it just on animals. He's used his baton to break a window to help like to help people get, you know, escape a vehicle. So this is part and parcel to what we're talking about. These are very much tools, even though they're described as intermediate weapons. They have multiple purposes for things like this. So
I think we're very fortunate that our chief is an ex-RCMP, so he understands all this language and the needs and what they're for.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a really good conversation over there, the First Nation. Good for me, for sure.
You want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion for
the second reading.
Second reading, yeah.
I thought we already did. Oh. We just have to have this.
Sorry. That passes. Second reading. Bylaw 327-26, VOC bylaw services, use of special forces.
What number is the traffic bylaw?
307-24.
Is it the first reading?
Motion to open for
public.
For review.
Okay, I'll make the motion to open this bylaw for review and public engagement. Bylaw 307-24, VOC traffic bylaw.
Second reading.
Oh, pardon it.
All in favor?
Oh. Sold out, never mind. Okay.
But please review. Okay. We're not finished business. 8.1, Council Strategic Plan Review.
So the draft strategic plan was posted for review after the last council meeting, and the public was asked to bring feedback by the office or to attend the meeting to provide feedback for the strat plan. I don't believe that we've received any feedback yet. Francis, has anybody come in? Okay. There's been no feedback to date. So it was added to the list here in case council felt that the review period was long enough. We could extend the review period if people feel that it would be warranted, or if council is comfortable to make a motion to approve the plan. That's up to council.
Council?
The only person that mentioned it to me, they said it was well laid out, and they thought it was a great strategic plan. So I'm like,
the only I saw a post on Facebook, Stuart Harris complimented us on this.
I think we should run it for another week.
Yeah.
And I know that I have two or three people that would like it emailed directly.
Okay.
They might be out of the territory at the time of that. And I don't know if they know of it, but.
Yeah, no problem. We can definitely extend the engagement period.
Council?
Yeah.
Motion to
make a motion to extend the engagement period by an additional 7 days.
Second. All in favor? Thank you. Passes. Okay. Follow up on landfill upgrades project decisions.
This is kind of a bit of a following up on an older item. So I'll defer to Prince to explain a little bit more on this one. Prince, do you want to?
So we do have landfill with the regionalization and have a funding approved with CCBF,
mm-hmm.
but it was approved in 2021. Due to the staff transition and all, all the project fell just so we didn't know.
Yeah.
It was just caught our attention a few weeks ago when YG's fund administrator, they asked us to close that project.
Okay.
It's only 50% done. So approved funding was around 600K and we only spent 90K.
Okay.
So with the Actually, I asked for the project, all the details that what was submitted with it and how, what was the proposal and all, because it was not saved in our computers. So she's sending me right now because she's also going back 5 years to get all the information.
Okay.
So I just asked her to keep it open for now and wait for council's decision if we still want to keep it open and do the work.
Can we get the information?
Yes.
Again.
Next.
Thanks.
And one question from Prince, you were saying that this project was put forward because it was in line with regulatory requirements for the landfill.
For the cell developments and everything. So it will come in this project. And all the security, it was proposed gate. It was all proposed in this project.
Okay.
So that's where we are. And we had multiple projects at the same time.
At the landfill.
At the landfill and for the Hilton Park and Cemetery Pool.
Okay.
So it was with so many projects with CCPF.
Yeah.
So this one just happened.
What's the closing date that she's saying? Or
no, it's just like they will, because it's inactive project from 2022, there's no activity on this project.
But they're willing to let us continue?
Yeah, because we have the agreement CCPF till 2034.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Then. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can provide more information in the next meeting.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Emergency planning discussion continued. From your report?
Yeah, I think this is basically just a bit of a summary of kind of where I think we touched on a lot of this at the JCM as well too, just about the in particular so the idea of putting focus on completing the community wildfire protection plan, the work that's been done on that, as well as looking at doing a joint community adaptation plan with LCFN. A community adaptation plan is kind of a precursor to a climate action plan. So it's not a full action plan, which is usually quite a lot more work and a lot more money, but a climate adaptation plan for our community is really just kind of the bare bones basics for how a community adapts to the changes in the climate and just high level things, a lot of pieces on dealing with river erosion, increased levels of increased risk for flood, fire, these kinds of things. It would be probably part and parcel to any kind of first phase of a joint action plan anyway. So the other benefit with both of these plans is that there is funding available for both. So the wildfire protection plan, YG would cover through community wildfire, through wildfire. The climate adaptation plan, FCM's Green Municipal Fund covers up to 100%. So that'd be up to 140,000 for that plan. And we would meet the criteria for being able to hit that. If we're able to develop this in concert with LSCFN, it would allow both governments the ability to access a lot more in climate stream funding. So you have a lot of the time you have to have an active
benchmark of
So it's kind of a prerequisite.
I think one of them may have been started. There might be some. Well.
Not a joint one, though.
It might have been a joint one.
Okay.
But I do remember discussions, like the climate adaptation plan. I'm like, I remember. So it would have been a long time ago, like 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
But I think that there was some work started, possibly, since there's like no information on $600,000 of landfill. Good luck finding it.
Yeah.
I seem to remember it being discussed, like, and then COVID happened, and then.
Yeah. Understandably, but we can definitely take a look for it and see if we can find anything. So thank you for.
Yeah. Well, because if it's just got a little bit of information, better than starting from complete scratch.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess it would be more, yeah, just kind of a, it's for your direction to the conference in agreement with that direction of looking at those two, doing planning for those two plans.
So,
yep.
I was saying to her, she's making my head go tick, 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 trying to think whether or not we had.
We'll find out if we have one to begin with, and if we don't, then then well, I'll follow up with you just to let you know what we find, and if we don't find anything, then we can let you know that too.
Best direction would be a yes.
Thank you.
Okay, potential impacts of YEC's proposed white horsepower centers project discussion.
So there were this was brought to my attention about the proposed project that Yukon Energy Corporation is making for the diesel generators that they want to develop over the next few years to help meet the growing energy demands. So there's been a number of engagements on this. A lot of engagement on this started last year. What's in a nutshell, what's being proposed are two mega generators, one that would be a 60 megawatt south of Whitehorse, and the other one would be a 90 megawatt that would be north of Whitehorse. The focus is really on the north, the one that's proposed sites for the one that's in the north. Both of the sites that make the short list right now are between Lake LeBarge and Fox Lake, so right around the Deep Creek area, right in that. So they're very close. Both of those sites, proposed sites, are close to each other. The concern for the village would be basically the same, you know, similar concern for any community or residents that live along the North Klondike. It is the only road that all of the communities have to get to and from Whitehorse. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of engagement that's been done with Whitehorse residents about where to potentially put these diesel generators. There's been, I've had in the conversation I had with YEC, there really hasn't been any engagement with communities on the North Klondike about this proposed site. The key concern coming from this is safety. So the number of vehicles that go back and forth along that stretch from the communities, whether it's taking kids to, you know, sports practice, going to the dentist, you know, all the different things that the community members need to go into Whitehorse for, and for people to come out this way. If the 90 megawatt generator is put in place, as is, if it's running at full capacity, it would require 10 to 15 mega fuel trucks up and down that highway each day. So, we know that there's already a ton of increased mining activity. So there's a lot more mining, a lot of bigger trucks on that highway as it is already. There's been concern about safety, especially in winter conditions along those kind of snake leg roads. There's lots of twists and turns. If you add ice, dark, whiteout conditions in the equation, it's a lot of concern about driver safety along that road. The other piece would be infrastructure stability. There hasn't been any risk assessment that's been done to date on the what the impact of having so much increased traffic for big trucks on that road would be, both to infrastructure like the bridges along that road, or for, again, driver safety. So I had an initial meeting with YEC earlier last week on this, and I offered to have, I said, this is definitely raising some concerns with our community. I also raised it with the other CAOs from other municipalities along the North Klondike, who are who are, you know, it sounds like they're having their own discussions on this. As you know, I also raised it at the JCM because it would be something to flag for First Nation governments, First Nations that live on the North Klondike, as well as any residents that live along the North Klondike in general. There's at this point, I haven't heard anything from YEC in terms of confirmation that there will be engagement with communities, but it's something that I felt was important to raise to council tonight because it is on the radar for in terms of an emerging issue.
Do they not go through a portion two for this project?
So they're about to. So their initial engagement was with Whitehorse residents for 2025 was primarily Whitehorse and organizations in the area. Their timeline right now, they're about to finalize the proposal to submit to YESEB this fall to review. So there will be an opportunity for people to engage during the YESEB process.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as direct engagement with YEC on the shortlisted sites, doesn't sound like it's, I don't know if there's any, if there's going to be anything before that submission to YESA.
Where exactly did they plan on?
Deep Creek.
It's Deep Creek is so both sites are very close to each other, but it's basically just past so if you're coming to CarMax.
I know where Deep Creek is, yeah.
Yeah. So it's there's one of them's an old gravel pit, I think. And the other one, yeah, they're both very close to each other. So
maybe a letter to Minister of Highways and Public Works about roads and safety and stuff like that could help them.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like me to also CC the minister responsible for YEC as well too?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a lot of fuel.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
How many trucks? 10 per day?
10 to 15. If it's running at max capacity.
8.5 in addition.
When we received the email from the Yukon government representative asking for availability for mayor and council to meet with the delegation, the Yukon government delegation on August 24th. And so it looks like the only time they're unavailable is from 6 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. But we were asked to suggest times that could work for a meeting on the 24th. It also looks like they are hoping to do a public meeting as well too.
Mm-hmm.
So
that sounds good.
Yeah.
Council.
At what time?
It's gonna say a time.
I'll have to get back to you at what time I could possibly be available. I set myself an email reminder to meet you.
It's the first day of school.
Why between 6 and 6:30 a day on
every? It would have to be sometime after school. But it's a short day, first day.
Is it a short day, the first day?
I think so.
I don't know.
What seems short? Meeting people. Teachers. Meeting students. Okay. Thank you, Robin Boss.
I will get back to you.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks. What? 8.6 Old Fire Hall discussion.
So we received the report from the assessor looking at the concerns, environmental concerns in the flag with the fire hall and how to remediate some of those. There was recommendation from the assessor that the cost to fix all of the issues that were identified would come to $90,000. So it is basically a question of whether or not it would be, council feels it would be worth the investment to make that 90,000. Maybe I'll also just turn over to Prince in case he has anything to add on the report or the correspondence with the assessor.
So I just got that quote yesterday, and it's, as Blake said, $90,000. So it's just that we are asking our council decisions. So then we can go back with the YG's reality officers.
Do we have anything tied in with is the EMO in there?
Well, it's...
Are we guaranteed?
That we have guaranteed that we...
Rent? Yeah. Is that what they're doing, is renting?
We have an active... So we do have an active lease with EMO Wildfire until next September. So right now there's a rent abatement due to the condition until we're able to...
So they're getting a deal while the building's not 100%.
They're kind of pulled out of the, they're going to just
to pause. Yeah.
Pause of the contract.
Yeah. This building was said it's condemned and now they're fixing it. Ships it again.
Right? Nobody ever said it was not usable.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I won't get into that discussion. I've been here a long time, and I'm just going to stop there then, if that's what you're saying. But anyway, what I'm saying is, how many times are we going to fix a horse with a broken leg? Is the 90,000 really, say we get to 90,000, we get one more day out of it, and then they tell us that it's another 90? So that one there, I don't know.
Can you add that piece you were telling me before about the funding piece?
So, Wildland Fire and YG, they also had the commitment with the lease when they signed for 50,000 as capital investment, which is, we did some lightning and furnace work, but it was mainly for the roof that we put 50,000 and they put 50,000 towards separately as a capital investment.
Yeah, because
so they paid us 50,000.
Yeah, which hasn't been done yet. Right. The other,
and is that part of the 90? No,
it's like,
so one application would be that the remediation of the whatever is going on based off of this assessment would now become priority, is what Prince is saying. Yes. Instead of the roof, which my question was, is can we look at what it would cost to have the building removed and then weigh the options of like what we're looking at based off of that? That would be my idea, because that third piece is that's the question mark. We don't know what it's going to cost if we do remove the building.
Could be rental spaces below and some apartments above.
I mean, this is there are options, right? I mean, it's I guess it comes back to I'll be really straight up. I don't know all the ins and outs and history of the building. But I do know that there has been concerns about the condition of it that have been somewhat longstanding. So I don't.
I also agree with Dennis. The 90,000 right now,
yeah.
But we all know that 90,000, it's at least 150.
I would ask for the land use permit, like if it's multi-purpose, or just confirm on what that was, and then possibly the quotes to remove it, and then we could look at every option.
I think it's community use.
Community use, yeah.
If it's a fire hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would come.
So it would, yeah. Okay. So basically how it's permitted and zoned, and with the potential of rezoning, re-permitting for a different usage.
I guess based off, the council can look up at community use through like what those options are. If you feel that it would be advised to or come to the table with allocating a different use to it, then please do so. And then, yeah, we can go from there.
Okay. So we'll follow up more information.
Okay.
Anything else on the old fire hall? Question period? Anything from the gallery? Not seeing any. Motion for in-camera session.
I'll make a motion to go in camera at 7:55.